I guess I'll start off by saying something that I just occurred to me today. Oh, actually, yeah, early this morning. I've always understood grace, but I've not always believed it. Grace has been modeled for me in various ways throughout the years, mostly from my parents, and in other ways as well. But I've not always appropriated, I've not always realized that that was grace. But it occurred to me that grace is really easy to understand, but it's just not always the hardest. It's just not always the easiest thing to believe. And I grew up as a teenager and as a child. We had, I went to church, had my past. My dad is a pastor, and my mom became a pastor later on in life. I believed in Jesus all my life, as far as I can remember back. But I had a lot of misconceptions about him. As a teenager, I would sit there and wait for this day when I would just all of a sudden, with a snap of a finger, start living right. That's kind of what I was. My idea of the Christian life was, I had to start living right. And that wasn't put on me by my parents. It was just my own misconceptions about what life in Christ was all about. And one of the things where I started to see grace, I wrote about this in an article a few years ago, and it's probably the best way for me to convey this story, because otherwise I would take too long with it. But I'll just read this article that I wrote. It's a Saturday night in October of 1988. I'm 19 years old. I'm ready to go have some fun. I'm grabbing some friends. We're going road tripping down the highways and back roads surrounding my hometown of Waverly, Iowa. But what kind of fun would it be without a case of beer and two bottles of Mad Dog 2020? Seemed like the perfect touch to an evening of fun and laughter, until our fun and laughter ended up in fear and screaming after my inattentive eyes missed a curve ahead road sign on the gravel road. And amazingly and thankfully, this part of the story ends with no one getting seriously hurt. But anyway, the most amazing part of the story is yet to come, and it's something that has impacted me in a far greater way, and it all centers around grace. The previous year, my parents had bought me a car to go to college. I was 100, my college was 100 miles away from home, and I dropped out of college after only 4 months. I'm sure that disappointed my parents, but they graciously welcomed me back home. And now here I was driving that car. I guess I'm going to improvise this. I'm not going to read this word for word now. But here I was back home in the car with my friends. And we went around this gravel road. The car overturned into a ditch. And my friend and I, there were four of us in the car. And two of them got to go home to their parents. And then my friend and I, we spent the night in jail. And I got home the next morning. And this is where it was really, has stuck with me, and it will stick with me forever. My mom was standing in the kitchen, getting ready for church, and instead of a sermon, or instead of telling me how disappointed she was, or instead of anything like that, this is what my mom said to me: "We're just glad you're okay." Doesn't matter how many times I tell that story, always brings tears to my eyes. And out of all the things that a parent, out of all the emotions, out of all the anger, out of everything that could be going through a parent's mind at that stage, to hear those words, "We're just glad you're okay," that meant more to me than anything else. They were more concerned about me than about what I had done. And so that was kind of a booster in my life as far as understanding the grace of God. I didn't really get it until later on in life, but that really affected my life in a big way. Well, anyway, like I said, I was waiting for this day when I would finally start living right, and the day never happened. I mean, it was a dream. I just thought that there would be this miracle. Well, anyway, in the meantime, I developed panic attacks as a teenager, in my late teens, early 20s, sometime around there. At the time, I didn't really know what they were about, but I just would have these periods where I just went into a state of panic. I didn't know what was going on. It's hard to explain what a panic attack is, but if a person's been through it, you understand it. But it turned out where I was kind of I couldn't leave town without having a panic attack. So I was basically stuck in town. And so I ended up going to see a counselor. Long story short, I was put on Xanax, which is something to help with the panic attacks. That really did help. I would have those things. I carried them around with me wherever I went. And whenever I started to have a panic attack, I would pop one of those pills and I'd be fine. And that's, which is kind of a sad thing because I really didn't need those. And that leads me up to January 7th of 1992, and I'll make this brief. This was really cool. I had a friend who would stop by and see me from time to time. He had a peace about him that I had never seen in anybody else, and he would share Jesus with me, and I would always say, man, I want what he has got. And finally, on January 7th, 1992, I was out of town. I had my Xanax with me. I was driving by where this guy works, and I thought, yeah, I should stop in and see him sometime, you know, let him tell me about a little more about Jesus. And anyway, I drove by thinking, yeah, I'll just do that some other day. Well, I got up to the next intersection, and it was almost like magic, but not, it wasn't magic, but it was like the Lord was doing this. The car turned around. It was me doing it, but it was like the Lord was leading, and I went in to see him. And that's the day my real walk with the Lord began. I felt very free. I felt very light. It almost felt like there was this halo around my head. It was just, it was a very weird sensation, but it was really good. It was really great. I felt so good in life. Now, I didn't start doing everything perfectly. I didn't start living right, but I thought I did. I quit smoking, drinking, fornicating, cussing. I quit doing all the bad things and started doing all the right things, or at least so I thought. And that was what my early Christian life was based upon. It was, while I felt free and light, it was kind of misguided. And yeah, I based my Christian life on what I did and what I didn't do. And so, of course, legalism crept in. And for the next few years, I kind of, after that first few weeks or months of freedom, I went into some legalism and some ups and downs, a roller coaster ride that really was not a fun time in my life. But anyway, I had, in 1993, this is a year later, I kind of listed out some things that I thought I might want to do with my life, and it was all introverted stuff. It was none of this extroverted talking stuff that I do these days. It was all introverted stuff, things like I thought maybe I would work behind the scenes at a radio station or a TV station. It was all behind-the-scenes type of stuff where I couldn't be seen by people, where I didn't have to interact with people too much. And so I thought, you know, maybe someday I'll do something like that. Well, anyway, in the following year, 1994, I ended up being on the radio, something I never would have planned in my life. And the story behind that is really cool. At least I think it is. I had a friend, actually the same friend who I had gone to see in 1992 and who had shared Jesus with me. And he ended up going to a Christian school in Kansas City. And in order for him to go there, he was $300 short. And so he was pretty much not going to do it. He was, no, I'm just not going to do this. Well, anyway, on that very same day of the deadline that he needed that $300, somebody he didn't know out of the blue gave him $300. And so he ended up going to school in Kansas City. Well, I went to visit him a few times while he was there. And on one of those visits, there were two friends of his, two girls who went to the school with him, and also a guy who was from Florida, I think. We ended up going to a Kansas City Royals game. And while we were on the way, this is before I had gotten into radio. I'm sharing how I ended up how this introverted guy got into radio. We talked about how there was a lack of Christian radio geared towards youth in Kansas City. And we talked about, well, what could we do about it? We were young and we were dreamers. And anyway, they said they would see what they could do. And I said, well, I know this radio station back in Waterloo where I'm from, KWOF. And I'll go up there and I'll ask them how they got started and what I could do. Me being this naive person, I went up there. to ask, how do you start a radio station? And long story short, I got there, and the general manager said, hey, I don't have much to share with you about how to do this, and I think it's pretty involved and deep, and I think he realized that I was just a dreamer. But anyway, he said, we've got two volunteer positions open for on-air DJs. And I laughed on the inside. I said, no way, that's not what I am called to do by any means. I'm kind of like Moses, slow of speech. I don't have any desire whatsoever to communicate in that way. Well, anyway, it wasn't long after that. I think a week later, I was on the air. They trained me. A guy by the name of Mike Kapler was the program director at this radio station. He took me in on I think it was a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was a Monday. A Monday night for 2 hours, I trained. Then Tuesday night, I trained for 2 hours. Wednesday night, I trained for 2 hours. And then he said, how about you come back the next day? I said, okay, I'll come back Thursday and I'll train. And he said, how about this? How about I just put you on the air tomorrow? So 6 hours of training. And again, this is the long story made short. And there I was on the radio. And that's how I met Mike Kapler. I say all that to say that's how I met Mike Kapler. If it wasn't for all of these things happening, I never would have ended up on the radio and never would have met Cap. And so time went on, and that was 1994. The next year, Cap, I think it was 1995, Cap began to get kind of a revelation of God's grace and God's love. And he had been going to a church that had formerly been a Word of Faith church. This Word of Faith church pastor by the name of Mark, he had begun to understand grace in a better way and began preaching it. And in doing that, many people in the church had left. But he was very bold, and he was very... it's just what was in him to preach the grace of God. And so Cap would give me tapes from this church, and so I would listen to those, and it was just life, and it was just like a breath of fresh air after having lived under legalism for a few years. So I began to listen to those tapes. Also, Cap had come across a book called Leadership That Builds People by James B. Richards, and Across the Grace Walk book by Steve McVeigh, which in 1995 was a brand new thing. And so I read Grace Walk, Leadership That Builds People. I listened to these tapes. And then in 1996, after much harassing of my wife, well, actually, much convincing of my wife, we ended up leaving our church, our Pentecostal church that we had been going to, and began going to Life Christian Center, where this preacher was preaching this wonderful grace stuff. And I had to get out of where I was because, well, one example is I found myself in our Pentecostal church that I've been a part of. The pastor had been preaching one day, and I was taking notes, but all the notes that I was taking were the complete opposite of what he was saying. And I, you know, it was very frustrating. I'm sure that some of you can relate to that. And so I had to get out of there, and it was great. I ended up in this Grace Church 3 solid years of very solid grace teaching. I really credit that experience is where I got my foundation in God's grace. And anyway, after 3 years of that, the pastor and his wife, well, it was after we were there for 3 years, the pastor and his wife had been there much longer, but they decided to go on to do other things, long story short, and the church closed at the end of 1999. If I had known then what I know now, I probably would have tried to keep us together without the pastor being there. But anyway, we ended up going to a different church. Another big part of my journey has to do with the internet, has to do with chat rooms and forums. In 1997, my wife and I got AOL Internet, America Online, and I quickly found the Christian chat rooms. And I would spend hours in those things talking about this newfound grace, talking about grace with other people. A lot of resistance, a lot of people not really liking what I was saying, but I found during that time that, you know, people would post opposition to the things that I was saying, and it made me think. It made me It drove me to the Bible. It drove me to think for myself. It drove me to God. It drove me to pray about all this stuff that I had been learning. And it kind of, it deepened over the long run of things, it deepened my understanding of God's grace and about what this life of unconditional love was all about. And so I love the fact that, you know, God opened that up for me for probably 10 years from 1997 to, just within the last few years, where I haven't been doing a whole bunch on forums and chat rooms lately, but I spent a great deal of time talking things out with people, working a lot of things out in my own life, pretty much anonymously. I had a screen name and all that, but people didn't really know who I was and where I was until 2004. The end of 2004, and the Grace Walk internet forum opened up with Dave Lesniak there and a bunch of other people. And for the first time, I actually posted my my real name. I think my screen name on there is J.S. Breeze, but I posted my real name along with that, I think. So people knew who I was and where I was from, and I really began talking this thing out with people who understood things as I did, and we could hone one another and share this life of grace with each other. And so that was refreshing for me, because after our church had closed at the end of 1999, I sort of became lonely. I became, I was reaching out. I was looking, God, where are some people who think like I do, who I can relate to, who I can share in this life of grace with? And I just wasn't finding any until that Grace Walk forum opened up. And so anyway, that's how I met Dave Lesniak, the maniac, Dave Lesniak. And he had noticed some things that I was writing and sharing on the forum. And he sent me a message asking me if I wanted to have some sort of a program on Grace Walk Internet Radio, which was also starting up around that time. And the introverted me, who had been on radio nevertheless for several years, but didn't really like my on-air stuff. I really liked doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. I resisted, and in myself, I'm like, no way am I going to do this. No way am I going to do a program. And so I had to pray about that, and then having known Mike Kapler then for around 10 years at the time, I talked to him about it, and he said, okay, long story short, let's do this then. And so we got back with Dave, and February of 2005, we started doing the Growing in Grace program. So we've been doing that for 5.5 years now, and that's another one of those things where doing the show, talking things out. One of the things about our format on Growing in Grace is that we're not so much a teaching program, although we do teach, but it's more the type of thing where we're just two guys talking things out. And so I have learned a lot just doing the program. And Cap says he is, the same thing has happened with him as well. And so that's been a neat thing. So anyway, as I sum things up here, I won't keep you guys for too much longer here, but to sum things up, as I look back on my life in Christ, as I look back on my life in grace, so many things have happened that I never would have planned. I never would have set my life up this way. If I would have set, at any given time, if I would have given myself a one-year plan or a five-year plan or a 10-year plan, it all would have fallen off the cliff. None of it would have meant anything, because the Lord just has his way of doing things. Getting on the radio, I never would have planned that. And so many different little things had to happen in order for that to happen. I never would have planned any of that. The whole church thing, going to this grace-based church, I wasn't looking for it. It just all fell into place. And so many of these things just fell into place. And so my trust in God has grown because of all this, because of, my plans are directed by him. My steps are directed by him no matter what plans I make. And there was a big part that I missed earlier. I forgot to share about this. I talked about how I had had panic attacks. Early in my Christian walk back in 1992, shortly after January 7th, where I began this walk with the Lord. and I had to carry Xanax around with me wherever I went. I came across this verse in the Bible, cast your anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. And I came across, I had never seen that verse in my life, in all my years in the church. And I said, I was like I said earlier, I was new, I was fresh in this thing, I felt light, and I said, all right, I would believe anything at that time. And so I believed that verse. I took God at his word that I could cast my anxiety on him because he cares for me. And so one day I drove out of town, and the panic kind of started, but I left my Xanax at home, and I said, God, I trust in you. I trust you. I cast my anxiety at your feet. And I drove out of town. I made it all the way out of town. No anxiety, no panic, no nothing. And then I, you know, came back into town, and it was 2 weeks later that I realized I had not even thought of the Xanax for 2 weeks. I had lived with that stuff daily. It was by my side all the time for 2 or 3 years probably. And then suddenly I went 2 weeks without even thinking about it because of the grace of God and because of his great care for me and simply believing it, believing that it's true. So anyway, that's part of my testimony. Thanks for taking time to listen in. And I just love and appreciate all of you. Obviously, there's more to it. I could have expounded on each little part there because each part meant so much to me, and it means so much it testifies so much to the faithfulness and the grace of God. And each person has their story. Everyone has their what they've been through that's gotten them to what they are. Mine's just my story, and everyone else has their story. And it's all part of this thing we call the body of Christ. We're just one body, all members, individually members of one another. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me share today.